Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies, Turbo Reader, and the important new book called The Supremacists, The Tyranny of Judges and How to Stop It. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The so-called experts tell us there is a crisis in infant and early childhood mental health. The academics, bureaucrats, and front groups for the pharmaceutical industry are promoting cradle-to-grave mental health screening, even in our youngest children. This would enable the government to take over the care of all children's mental health, and the most efficient way to do that is through the use of public schools. These bad ideas are propagated by a federal outfit called the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. 48 states and several territories have received federal grants to implement mental health screening. Minnesota received a federally funded grant to coordinate and integrate early childhood screening systems to assure that all children ages birth to five are screened early and continuously for the presence of health, socio-emotional, or developmental needs. An even more dangerous way of intervening in the mental health of young children is by the use of powerful psychiatric drugs. A study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association revealed a 300% increase in the use of these drugs in 2 to 4 year old children between 1991 and 95. Yet the science behind the diagnostic criteria, the screening instruments, and the treatments is appallingly bad. There are no studies showing long-term safety of psychiatric drugs used on children or the effect on children's developing brains and bodies. Two of the three classes of these drugs are under the FDA's stringent warnings for suicide and violence. They also interfere with learning, causing violence and neurological problems. What can be done to stop this unscientific and dangerous government invasion into the minds of our children? Parents, it's up to you. Parents must refuse to submit their children to any of these unscientific screenings and surveys.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Parents, your children should not undergo forced mental health screening. It's bad science, it's unconstitutional, and may lead your own child being stigmatized or over-medicated. Write Eagle Forum, Alton, Illinois, 62002, and ask for the Mental Health Packet. That's Eagle Forum, Alton, Illinois, 62002, or online, eagleforum.org. And join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at StovesandMoreOnline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, the man who says, it's hard to make a comeback when you haven't been anywhere, Derry Brownfield.
Hello there. Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It's a talk show with a country flavor and some common sense points of view. And yes, it is difficult to make a comeback when you haven't left home in the first time. I always say it's as difficult to talk about something you know nothing about as it is to come back from some place that you haven't been. It all fits together. And with that in mind, we have Bill Federer with us today. Bill, do you realize that the last time you were on the air, it was Thanksgiving Day, for goodness sakes?
My goodness, that's quite a while.
Well, I asked Beth, I said, I can't find when I had Bill on the air last. Can you tell me? And she looked it up for me. I thought it was maybe last month or something like that. So anyway, you have now written a book, Bill. It's titled The Interesting Story, or The Interesting History of Income Tax. And it is interesting. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that I didn't know. And, you know, the interesting thing is, all these interesting things, that we got along well without an income tax for the biggest part of this country's history.
Well, you're exactly right, Derry, that the original Constitution forbade an income tax. Article 1, Section 9 says the federal government shall lay no direct tax. And one of the reasons we rebelled against King George III was because of taxes, that the British government was at war with France, and since we were a British colony and the French were out west, that part of the war came to our shores, and it was called the French and Indian War. And so after the war was over, the British government felt like the colonies needed to foot the bill. Well, the colonies felt like, look, we were pulled into a war that wasn't any of our doing. We don't feel like we need to pay. And so it caused a lot of tension. And so the British passed numerous taxes, the salt tax, the tea tax, the sugar tax, the Stamp Act. And then there was the Boston Tea Party, where our founders threw 342 chests of tea into the Boston Harbor.
See, they'd be arrested for polluting now.
Yeah, and Isaac Backus, who was a assembly member there in Massachusetts, said in 1775, is not all America now appealing to heaven against the injustice of being taxed? We are persuaded that an entire freedom from being taxed by civil rulers is not mere favor from any men in the world, but a right and property granted us by God, who commands us to stand fast in it. As a matter of fact, the original draft of the Declaration of Independence by Thomas Jefferson says the history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having the object of an establishment of an absolute tyranny. He has given assent to acts of pretended legislation for imposing taxes on us without our consent. So we see that that was one of the very reasons that our country came into being, was we didn't like being taxed. And so the Articles of Confederation, which was the government in America for 8 years prior to our U.S. Constitution, it did not give the federal government any power to tax. Only the states. The states could, but not the federal government. So that's why the original federal constitution, Article 1, Section 9, says that the no capitation or other direct tax shall be laid by the federal government. And then people say, well, how did the federal government pay for things? Well, they had excise taxes, which were taxes on specific things like salt, tea, tobacco, carriages, and tariff taxes, which were taxes on imports, things brought into America. And that actually highlighted the so there's three reasons for taxes. Number one is to pay for legitimate government expenses like navies. We needed the Navy to defend us against Britain. The second purpose of taxation was what's called economic engineering. And this sort of is based on John Marshall, the Supreme Court justice, who in 1835 said, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And so it's this idea that you tax the things you want to discourage, and you give tax breaks to the things you want to encourage. And so we wanted to discourage people buying things from Britain and from Europe. And so we put a tax on imports. And then we gave tax breaks to items that were manufactured in America. And so that was the first purpose, is called economic engineering. The problem was, though, that the tax breaks that helped the North hurt the South, because they didn't have any industry to protect. They just now had to buy the more expensive goods from the North or the more expensive goods from Europe because of the tariff taxes. And so that was one of the animosities that led up to the Civil War. There was actually a case in South Carolina where the state refused to collect the tariff tax on the imports. And so after the Civil War was the third reason for taxation, which unfortunately came from Karl Marx, who said, every man according to his ability, to every man according to his need. And this was the idea of redistribution of wealth or social engineering. So the three reasons were, number one, pay for legitimate government expenses, number two, economic engineering, and number three, social engineering. And the government got into the position of redistributing people's wealth. And the situation at the time was these tariff taxes that helped the northern industry gave birth to these northern industrialists, the Rockefellers, Carnegies, the J. Paul Gettys, the Pullman Railroad Car Factory, and they became very, very wealthy. And people began to be, upset about this because they were abusive. For example, the Pullman Railroad Car Company owned the factories, owned the apartments where the people worked, and owned the grocery stores where the people shopped.
And that's one reason that they came along then with the inheritance tax.
Exactly.
So somebody wasn't going to end up owning the entire United States. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Not included.
And we're visiting today with Bill Federer. He has written the book, The Interesting History of Income Tax. And it is interesting. It's very, very interesting. And you know, Bill, a while ago I mentioned, you know, we used to run this country without any income tax. And you even went so far as to explain how our founding fathers, they didn't want all these imports coming in, so they taxed imports. They wanted us to trade at home, so they gave tax breaks to the manufacturers here. And this just exactly the opposite of what our great and glorious leaders are doing today. China could be paying our bills for us if we would just tax the income, or if we just put tariffs on incoming goods into this country. Bill, are you there?
Yes, yes.
That was my little sermonette for the day.
You did great. Well, one of the things I think is interesting is that after the Civil War, when these northern industrialists became so powerful, there was a public sentiment rising up against them. For example, I began to talk about the Pullman Railroad Car Company. They owned the factories, owned the apartments where the workers lived, and owned the grocery stores where the workers shopped.
See, it's the same thing today with Walmart.
Yeah, yeah. And then the price of railroad cars fell, and so they cut back what they were paying the workers. Yet the rent stayed the same, and the groceries stayed the same. So every day the workers worked, they got more in debt because of their rent and their groceries, yet they were getting paid less. And so that's where the Tennessee Ernie Ford song came in, I owe my soul to the company store, another day older and deeper in debt. And so the public began to be upset and want to take away the wealth of these international industrialists, and there became a push to have an income tax. It almost passed. Matter of fact, it did pass, but then the Supreme Court in 1895 declared it unconstitutional. It was the case of Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust. And the Chief Justice Melville Fuller said, "The original expectation was that the power of direct taxation would be exercised only in extraordinary exigencies," which was like a war. So Lincoln pushed through a temporary income tax to finance the Civil War. He raised $750 million to pay for the war, but after the war was over, it was repealed. Why? Because there's no emergency. There's no war. And then Justice Stephen Field went on in 1895 saying, "The income tax law under consideration discriminates between those who receive an income of $4,000 and those who do not. The legislation is class legislation. Whenever a distinction is made in the burdens a law imposes or the benefit it confers on any citizen by reason of their birth, their wealth, or their religion, it is class legislation and leads to oppression and abuses."
Okay, I believe I hear music, which I don't hear, but there it comes. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition. Our number's 1-800-973-3779. And we're visiting today with Bill Federer, who has written the book, The Interesting History of Income Tax. Stay tuned.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
And we have returned. As I mentioned earlier, Bill Federer has written the book, The Interesting History of Income Tax. It's very interesting, and everybody should know why we're paying income tax and how this all came about. We can put the book in your mailbox for $23 for credit card calls only. That's 1-800-201-7892. 1-800-201-7892. Check, cash, or money order. Just send your check, cash, or money order to the Income Tax Book, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Now, we were discussing this income tax and how it got started under the influence of Woodrow Wilson in 1913, it was a 1% tax on incomes of over $3,000. But in 1913, Bill, $3,000 was a gob and a bunch of money, wasn't it?
Right. 99% of the country made less than that amount. And, you know, a couple steps leading up to that income tax was Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt was upset that the Rockefellers had such a monopoly. John D. Rockefeller had his Standard Oil Company, and he did an under-the-table deal with the railroads to ship his oil cheaper. And so he would sell it cheaper and put his competitors out of business. Once the competitors were out of business, he would jack the price of the oil up very high and then give a kickback to the railroads and pay them back. And he did this all across the country until John D. Rockefeller became the richest man in the world. And Teddy Roosevelt wrote, "Thus in New England, the refusal of certain railway systems to prorate has resulted in keeping the Standard Oil Company in absolute monopolistic control of the field, enabling it to charge from $300,000 to $400,000 a year more to the consumer of oil in New England." And he goes on and on. He says, "This is an example of the numerous evils which are inevitable under a system in which the big shipper and the railroad are left free to crush out all individual initiative." And so, believe it or not, it was Teddy Roosevelt that pushed through an inheritance tax. Number one, because income tax was illegal, but this public sentiment was trying to go after those rich guys. So then his vice president was Taft, and so when Taft became the president, Taft pushed through a corporate income tax. Why? Because only the extreme wealthy owned corporate stocks. So
okay,
these were indirect ways of taxing the very rich.
There's another reason for that, too, Bill, because corporations never die. You see, the corporate, they were never going to have to pay inheritance tax. Individuals die. In other words, the Roosevelts and the rich people at that time, they die, and they were going to tax them with an inheritance tax. But if they have corporations never die. So that's the reason they couldn't get to them through inheritance tax. They had to go to the income tax.
And then the next step was when Woodrow Wilson became the president, and he thought that tariff taxes between countries caused wars. And he thought if we could get rid of all the tariff taxes between all the countries, we would have world peace. And so he reduced our tariff income drastically and decided to supplement it by a 1% income tax on the top 1% richest people in the country. The public never would have voted the tax themselves. They thought this was just a soak-the-rich tax. Ironically enough, though, as soon as it was passed, the extreme wealthy started tax-free foundations. And just as you mentioned how the corporation form allowed them to not pay inheritance tax, the tax-free foundations allowed them to get around the corporate taxes. And so the Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, all these foundations formed so that the wealthy could still control where the money went. They just didn't have to pay taxes on it. And then World War One happened. And the same way the public swallowed having an income tax under Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, the public went ahead and swallowed having an income tax during World War One. And it was expanded to a good percentage of the population. After the war was over, it was reduced, but it was not repealed. Like in 1873, Lincoln's income tax was repealed, but only now it was just simply reduced. And so since the majority of the people did not pay it, it sort of just went along, and nobody really paid much attention to it. And then another war began. It was World War II, and Franklin Roosevelt moved the tax rates very high and included the majority of the country. And this is what John F. Kennedy wrote later in 1961. He said, In meeting the demands of war finance, the individual income tax was moved from a selective tax imposed on the wealthy to the means by which the great majority of our citizens now participate in paying for well over one half of our total budget receipts. So he acknowledges it was meeting the demands of war finance that caused it to grow. And then...
We are going to take another break. We'll be right back. By the way, get the book. We can put it in your mailbox for a $23 ticket. 1-800-201-7892 for credit card orders only. Send $23 check, cash, or money order to P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Located in rural Missouri is a place called Heartland, a modern-day city of refuge where men, women, and children can come and find hope in the various recovery programs offered by Pastor Charles Sharp and members of Heartland Community Church. The Heartland community includes Heartland Children and Youth Homes, Heartland Recovery Programs for Adults, K-12 Heartland Christian Academy, Nations Harvest Bible College, and several businesses, including one of the largest dairy operations in the country. Every home, business, classroom, and job site at Heartland are filled with people who are reaching out with compassion of Jesus Christ to help those who are hurting. Heartland came into being as a result of prayer, and prayer continues to be the source of Heartland's daily harvest of miracles. Heartland is a true haven of spiritual healing. To learn more about Heartland, call 660-284-6212. That's 660-284-6212. We all like free stuff. Just the mention of the word free will make most people stop long enough to ask, what's the catch? Well, this time there is no catch. I'm going to give you something free, and there is no catch, really. I want to give you a free sample of my monthly newsletter, The Common Sense Chronicle. All you have to do is ask for it. Of course, what I really want is for you to eventually subscribe to The Common Sense Chronicle, but you don't have to. There's no obligation whatsoever. I can tell you this, I'm not politically correct, and neither is the Common Sense Chronicle, but it is important to be informed, and there's much news to tell. So if you're not a subscriber already, let me send you a free copy of my monthly newsletter. Just send your name and address to Free Sample, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Or you can drop me an email by going to my website, www.derrybrownfield.com. The address again, Free Sample, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
The last time you made a financial contribution to a multi-billion-dollar organization after receiving a glossy brochure to help the cute and furry animals, have you wondered how effective your donation really was? Well, listen to G.B. Oliver, Executive Director of the Paragon Foundation.
Truth of the matter is, because we have such a small staff, and we run it as tight as we can because our commitment to the people is that every dime you contributed to this foundation is going to go back out into the things that we believe in and go out to help people. And let me tell you, to the person on this board, we're committed to that. And there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that's ever going to change that.
Doing the work on a dime, keeping true to its mission statement, and helping to wake up America and protect your property rights. That's the Paragon Foundation. Get a free copy of the Paragon magazine and support the Paragon Foundation today by calling toll-free 1-877-847-3443 or go on the web at paragonfoundation.org.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show, the man who finally realized what he should have done with his life. He should have been a consultant, specializing in hindsight. Derry Brownfield!
And we're back. Bill Federer's book, The Interesting History of Income Tax, is a paperback, and we can put it in your mailbox for $23. Credit card calls only, 1-800-201-7892. Check, cash, or money order to P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. And by the way, Beth keeps reminding me, when you write the check today, we have to write Common Sense on the check. So make the check out to Common Sense Coalition or Common Sense. That's good enough. And if you don't do it, then Beth has to go through and put that on every cotton-picking check because we've got bank examiners that says that's the way it's got to be. Let's go to the telephones. David in California. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Yes. I called in to object to a few things your guest said. First of all, it was President Taft who proposed the income tax before Congress in June 1909. The legislation was passed in the fall, went around the states, and 1 week before leaving office, his Secretary of State, Philander Knox, declared the amendment ratified.
All right, is that in your book, Bill?
Yeah, it was not officially ratified, and they did try to do the vote after everybody went home for Christmas. But the fact of the matter is that the public sentiment was that the it was a soak the rich tax. And so the public would have probably gone along with it had it gone through the regular ratifying process because they never imagined in their wildest dreams it was going to tax them. They thought it was just going to tax that 1% robber baron.
Okay, hey, appreciate the call,
David.
Wait a minute.
I'm not quite done yet.
Well, very quickly.
Okay, the tax didn't affect most people till the mid-1950s when the inflation brought the median income up to a level that qualified for the tax. So most folks weren't affected till the 1950s. So they were certainly affected by the time Kennedy talked about it in 1961.
Okay, appreciate the call. Let's go to Don in Tennessee. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
How you doing, Derry? I'm out here from W50's radio out here in East Tennessee. Bill, you just mentioned about the war tax in World War II. Well, in 1942, the Congress had passed the Victory Tax Act, which was defined in the Constitution on Article 1, Section 8, where it says that Congress shall have the power to mount up, raise armies, and funds for a period of not to exceed more than 2 years. This current tax system expired by law on May 29th, 1944, and was never announced to the general public. That's all. I just want to add that as just extra information.
Okay, thanks for the call. Bill, are you? Is that in your book?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it was in 1943... that paycheck withholding was put into place. And again, this was part of the patriotic effort. This was the buy war bonds, the Uncle Sam need you posters, and it was called the pay-as-you-go tax. And if you were a faithful American, you let them take the money straight from the employer and put it straight toward fighting Hitler, and then it wouldn't waste time going through your bank account. After the war stopped, it didn't, and they have kept it on. As a matter of fact, John F. Kennedy in 1961, in his message on taxation, admits it. He says, "Our system of combined withholding and voluntary reporting," I love that word, "voluntary reporting on wages and salaries under the individual income tax has served us well." He goes on to say, "Introduced during the war, when the income tax was extended to millions of new taxpayers, the wage withholding system has been one of the most important and successful advances in our tax system in recent times. Initial difficulties were quickly overcome, and the new system helped the taxpayer no less than the tax collector." Now, I think we disagree with that, but you're right that it was introduced as an emergency effort during the war, and then it stuck. And that's sort of the way politics works, is that once the big government gets a policy and gets a power, they never want to give it up. But after the war, taxes were reduced, and we had an economic boom. And you can see this periodically through history, that whenever taxes are reduced, people have more money to spend, and the economy grows. Even Thomas Jefferson, back when all we had was the tariff and excise taxes, Thomas Jefferson reduced the taxes, and the economy grew. And in his address, Jefferson said, "Let us continue in what we have begun in substituting economy for taxation."
You know, Bill, I did a couple of articles here back in the Chronicle some time ago concerning tariffs and depressions as well as taxes and good times. Every time, and it's happened four or five times during the history of this country, every time they put heavy taxation on incoming goods, our country had a boom period. And every time that they removed tariffs, in other words, we went back to a free market, we got into a recession. It never failed.
Well, and that's the great difficulty. You're hitting it right on the head, is that the Walmart people in New York, like the income, the strong dollar, so that people will invest, but the strong dollar helps hurts the trade and the international trade, so that our goods are more expensive to other countries, and so they buy less. And so, unfortunately, over the last years, the Wall Street that's been governing our financial policies, and it's been hurting the trade. And one of the things I thought was interesting is the exact same way that the wealthy hid their income in tax-free foundations once Woodrow Wilson pushed through the income tax, when FDR raised the income taxes so high during World War II that income, people with wealth, simply moved their wealth to other countries. And here's John F. Kennedy, 1961. He says, "I've asked the Secretary of Treasury to report on whether the present tax laws may be stimulating an undue amount of flow of American capital to industrial countries abroad through special preferential treatment. In those countries where income taxes are lower than in the United States, the ability to defer payment of U.S. tax by retaining income in subsidiary companies provides a tax advantage for companies operating through overseas subsidiaries that is not available to companies operating solely in the United States. Many American investors properly made use of this deferral in the conduct of their foreign investment." So if you can imagine that game that you played when you were a kid, Red Rover, send Johnny over. Well, when FDR raised the taxes really high and people that had investment dollars said, well, gee, if I move my dollars overseas, I don't have to pay this income tax. They move it over there, and then once they build the factories overseas, they lobby to reduce the tariffs so they can bring their goods back in cheaper. Then the factories that are still in America now have their former friends to compete with, and they think that it's too difficult, and so some of those move overseas and join the team to import stuff back into America, so they want to lobby to remove the tariffs so they can bring their goods back in cheaper. Once the tariffs are lowered, then the companies that are still manufacturing in the United States have more competition, so some of those decide that, hey, I'm going to join the other team. They move over to another country, and then they lobby to remove. So we've done this for so long, now the tariffs are so low, and just about, you know, large percentage of our manufacturing in America is already gone. And they're over there in China and India, and they're lobbying to have all the tariffs gone so they can bring it back in. But there's several problems here. Number one, we are vulnerable in a defense point of view, because if we are at war, you know, with China or someplace, all they have to do is hold back their ships, and we don't have anything left to sell, and we're brought to our knees. China's the number one owner of our national debt, so we're between a rock and a hard place. And then it just is, reminds us of the fall of the Roman Empire, where they had outsourced all their grain production to North Africa. And, once the Vandals, that was one of the tribes that overran the Roman Empire, once the Vandals conquered North Africa, it cut off the grain supply, and Rome did not have the resources to mount a counterattack.
And you know, Bill, we're doing exactly the same thing with food here in the United States today. A high percent of our food comes from overseas. Most of it is not looked at by any FDA or USDA. It's just brought in here, and up to half of our food now, particularly in fruit and vegetables, comes from out of this country. A high percent of our meat, almost a third of our meat, does. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Again, let's buy the book. It's interesting. A lot of good pictures in it as well of the past presidents that were involved in this thing. By the way, it's put it in your mailbox for $23. Credit card calls only, 1-800-201-7892. Check, cash, or money order to P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
And we have returned. Bill, how long did it take you? How'd you get all this information together and put it in such plain words that you and I can understand?
Well, I have a degree in accounting and worked as an accountant for numerous years. And, you know, every year you have to go through the new GAAP and the new IRS code. And, you know, the original IRS code was only 14 pages. And now it's over two volumes, 6 inches thick each, with 8 volumes of regulations to interpret them. We have over 8 billion pages of tax forms sent out every year, requiring 300,000 trees. And then get this, 5.4 billion man-hours go into completing these forms. And so this is time and effort that individuals could be spending in a profitable business endeavor or working to produce income. Instead, they're having it equates to 25% of all the money the IRS receives. That amount is spent by the public preparing their tax forms. So it's a huge drain on our economy having to do all this. And you think, did our founders really imagine that when they're setting it up? Also, the very purpose of it, of taxation, went from providing defense for our country, building roads and so forth, and then it got into this social engineering, redistributing, and then I was recently with the head of the budget of Missouri's House of Representatives, Alan Isett, and he said that the number one item on our state budget, the number two item, is education and health care. And, you know, originally this was not part of the government to take care of health care. It's interesting. FDR raised taxes during World War II, and he also froze wages. I mean, FDR, believe it or not, confiscated all the gold in the country. I mean, this was he exercised dictatorial powers almost. But FDR froze wages so employers could not pay their employees any more money. But employers wanted to give raises, and so they did it by offering health care benefits to their employees. Well, that is how employers got stuck in the middle between a person and their health care. You know, a person doesn't have to go through their employer to get their car insurance or go through their employer to get their life insurance. Why the health thing? Well, that was an FDR invention that we have to thank him. Also, it's interesting.
Bill, I can remember that very well. I was a big kid back during World War II, and I can remember the black market. They froze the price of livestock. They froze the price of meat. They froze the price of automobiles. They froze prices of about everything. And we had a black market. It's kind of interesting. That would be another show in itself, but how people got around that. You could buy a car at a certain price, but you had to pay for a set of tools that were worth almost as much as the car was worth, and they would be in the trunk of the car.
Yeah, yeah. It highlights the power grab that you know, FDR did, and, you know, we have to keep our eye in times of crisis on the government. That's why I'm really concerned, you know, about all the government, you know, searching you at the airport and all the new hate crime legislation they're trying to push through, is that at some point in time, this all may end up in Hillary's power, and she'll be labeling you and I and the one that we need to keep an eye on.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
AAM, the American Agriculture Movement, first made national headlines with the Tractorcade to Washington, D.C. in the late 1970s. AAM keeps rolling on, fighting for parity for agricultural producers everywhere in America. Parity was determined by averaging commodity prices from 1910 to 1914, when the economy and prices were balanced among producers, middlemen, and consumers. Today's parity prices are adjusted to inflation. Today, 15 commodity prices average 60% below parity. AAM is pushing government announcements to be made far enough in advance that the producer will have adequate time to make needed adjustments in their operation. To join the American agricultural movement, go to www.aaminc.org or call 605-993-6201.
Bill Duncan of Kansas knows that the chelation therapy found in Cardio One, formerly known as Bypass, really works.
After some trips to the emergency room, the doctor visits, and a lot of problems in March of 97, I was in a hospital for test observation for probable circulatory problems, and there's no doubt in my mind I was on the verge of having a heart attack because I began to add all these symptoms up. And yeah, I remembered a phone number I had jotted down about 6 months earlier while listening to the Derry Brownfield Show. Ordered my first bottles. Within 2 or 3 days, I began noticing symptom relief. Several things began feeling better. So using the tablets right away, I was doing what they said it would do, and I was impressed with that.
Improve your own cardiovascular health. Get your own 30-day supply of Cardio One, formerly known as Bypass. Send $43.95, check cash or money order to Cardio One, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's Cardio One, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
Bill, we are in the home stretch. I'm going to tell our listeners one more time how they can get your book. It's a $23 book, paperback, goes in your mailbox now, so there's no shipping and handling. It's all included here for $23. Just dial credit card orders only, dial 1-800-201-7892 And for check cash or money order, be sure you make out the check to Common Sense. And that's P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Bill.
Well, one of the things I think is important to bring out before we get finished is the tax exemption for contributions to churches. This originally started in 1951, and it was a deduction for those that would give to 501c3 organizations. Again, it's prior to 1943, there was no category of 501c3, and of course, prior to 1916, there was no income tax. But in 1951, a tax deduction was allowed for giving to a 501c3 organization. Well, in Texas, Lyndon B. Johnson was running for Senate in the Democrat primary. Matter of fact, if you want to do an interesting search on Google, look up voter fraud, and you will see LBJ's Senate race in Texas in his Democrat primary. He actually lost, and then a week later, there was confusion in his parents' precinct, and they came up with some more votes. Afterwards, found out the names were written on the ballot box, the same order that their gravestones appeared in the local cemetery. Nevertheless, LBJ won, but some different nonprofits spoke out significantly against LBJ. So when he got elected to the Senate in 1954, he pushed through a bill to remove the tax-exempt status from 501c3 organizations if they got involved too politically. And so that is why churches today have to be concerned about getting involved too politically, or they might lose their tax-exempt status. It all started with LBJ's corrupt Senate race in Texas in 1954. Again, no church has actually lost its 501c3 status, and only one church has ever had their letter revoked, and that's because they took out a full-page ad in the New York Times slamming Bill Clinton. So the ACLU and those groups, they put all this threatening propaganda out there telling groups not to get involved in the political process when they can. Now, there are some rules. You can't have a church endorse a candidate, but there's a tremendous amount of leeway there. And a couple groups that I think are worth noting is the Liberty Council. Their website is lc.org. And then another is the Alliance Defense Fund. And the Alliance Defense Fund, Alan Sears, they take cases all the time defending churches, and you'd be surprised how much freedom organizations do have. And the whole idea of losing your tax-exempt status is basically something that's just been used for intimidation purposes. But it's a fascinating book I put together. It's The Interesting History of Income Tax. I was going to mention that so we have a tax during the Civil War with Lincoln. It was repealed. And then World War One was when the original 16th Amendment went through with Woodrow Wilson. And then in the World War Two is when FDR upped the income tax. And then in 54, with the Korean War, is when income tax was pushed to make it progressive, where the more you make, the more they take. And that actually came from some English economist named John Maynard Keynes. And he made the tax progressive. He thought it would be a way to prevent inflation because he said too many dollars chasing too few goods causes the price of the goods to go up. And so he wanted a way to pull dollars out of the money supply. And so he came up with this idea of a progressive tax.
And that's also that is also in the Communist Manifesto.
It definitely is. So they've been actually instituting a lot of these things that are un-American and against the origins of our country's founders.
And we are out of time, Bill. Again, let me very quickly tell our listeners, get the book, $23, to P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. And now it's time for me to say, may the good Lord bless and keep you while the good, while the near are far away, and I missed the clock, and it's time for Happy Trails.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Who cares about the clouds and where to get?
Sunny weather, happy trails to you.
It's true.